Welcome to another episode of Running the Race Podcast. RTR is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Gonzales, Louisiana, and strives to provide a pastoral perspective on living the Christian life in our day. To learn more about FBCG, check out our website at fbcg.net. Today's episode is a follow-up from SOLA, our South Louisiana Pastors Conference. Pastor Jim Law and Minister to Students Alex Ray revisit the topic of theological triage. We begin with a recap of what triage means, discuss how it helps to handle disagreements in the faith, and then Pastor Jim applies triage to handling issues of Christian liberty. We finish with a flourish, announcing the speakers for our next two annual SOLA conferences.
Well, Alex, it's good to be back with you for our podcast. I have to just admit on the front end that I'm really excited. I just learned that we welcomed our 12th grandchild into the world.
Wonderful.
Rhett Augustine Law, 9 pounds, 11 ounces.
Healthy.
Yep. Well, yeah, he's well on his way. So it's good to be back with you. And we've just come out of a rather intense month of ministry here at FBCG. And we began with the SOLA conference. And I just have, through the years, have appreciated the conference. What are some of your takeaways from our gathering?
So we've been doing the South Louisiana Baptist Conference for several years now, and each year had a specific theme. Mm-hmm. And the one for this past year, we did it on theological triage.
Mm.
And we'll unpack what that means for our time today. But I think one of the main takeaways is, for me, is just think about the importance of triage and think about, how do we navigate both agreement and particularly disagreement when it comes to our brothers and sisters in Christ, not only in the local church, but also with other pastors in the area as well. It also plays out to those conversations. And so that was kind of one of my main takeaways. And thankful for Dr. Ryan Putman from mm-hmm. Southeastern, who came and spearheaded that, or rather led that with a keynote for that.
Yeah, Ryan is a gifted theologian. I'm really grateful that he could come. Through the years, I was just reflecting on some of our guests. Bobby Jameson came our first year, followed by Don Whitney. Jim Shaddix has come twice. He came twice, and he's gone to be with the Lord now.
Right.
I'm thankful for his good deposits among us. James Hamilton.
Mm-hmm.
We did one of our themes was on Revelation. Phil Newton, Brian Borgman came last year as we looked at For This We Labor and Strive from 1 Timothy. And so we had Ryan come, and also joined by Krista George and Matthew DeLauder and Brandon Langley. We're thankful for, the friendships there. And just thinking about this conference, before we dig into the most recent triage, the theme of triage, what I envision with this conference is to have a 24-hour event, a Friday, Saturday, where pastors in South Louisiana and beyond, we did have a couple of guys come from North Louisiana and then had to leave the same day because of the weather. But to have a conference here that's substantial and encouraging, and to be able to build fellowship here around doctrinal commitments, a Reformed theology, the sufficiency of Scripture, and church life. And it's led to other partnerships like Pillar.
Right.
I'm so grateful for Brandon Langley, who is the representative here in South Louisiana. It's just really, I see a surge of connection through that effort, a like-mindedness in church life and ecclesiology, theology, and the gospel. And so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's really what's behind the conference, is to have something that's accessible and affordable and would build fellowship in the work of ministry.
Yeah, and so you mentioned some really important words there to come to theology, ecclesiology, and that kind of flows very well, I think, into our theme for this year that we just finished with the conference and thinking about, again, triage. And so we did a whole episode on triage some time ago.
Yeah,
but it would be good just to do a brief kind of recap of what that is, why that's important,
sure.
And then maybe think through, on the backside now of this conference, what are some action steps or some concrete things we should be taking away?
Yeah, I think this conference was probably one of my favorite because I just see the practical impact of being able to work through doctrinal issues and Christian liberty issues, sure. Often called gray areas, mm-hmm. and to be able to work through those properly and in the life of the church. Albert Mohler coined the phrase in 2005 in an article. He coined the phrase theological triage. His mother was a nurse, and
right.
the triage of the ER, and how, you know, in the medical field, they're having to assess severity of injury in order to put the top priorities first. And he uses that understanding to address theological differences. And tier one is are significant doctrines that if you deny them, you're no longer a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Second tier would be doctrines that are important, but earnest and well-intended believers disagree on. That's why you have different denominations.
Sure.
And then third tier would be disagreements that can be managed within the body.
Right.
And so believers are able to function together even with differences on those doctrinal issues. This right. is, I'm urging to say that seems kind of random or self-imposed on the scripture, but I just think it's a tool that every Christian, it's really how, as pastors, to lead the body to work through the issues of the day.
Right. Yeah, so just to kind of briefly recap then, this is really important, is that those first tier issues, it's not only that they're significant, but they're fundamental to the faith. Mm. And so thinking, you know, the deity of Christ would be an example of that. The resurrection of Christ would be an example of that.
Yeah. Mohler even mentions justification by faith, which I find an interesting,
sure.
You know, and I understand why he does that, because mm-hmm. It really defines how is one made right with God.
Right. Right.
It brings the gospel truth to the forefront.
Right. And so that's helpful. And so thinking through that, the first tier issue, then you have a second tier issue, which are, again, we can agree to disagree on these particular matters, but it could be difficult for us to worship together mm. in the same body.
Yeah.
And that's why you mentioned there's so many different denominations.
There are conscience issues, you know, when someone becomes convinced of something, we're urged to, that our consciences be trained by the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And there are just differences that seem so entrenched.
Right. So we agree on that. So when it comes to someone in that second group, for example, we agree on those first tier issues. We share those in common, mm-hmm. but on those second tier issues, we start to diverge. And because mm-hmm. we start to diverge, whether, you know, conscious, whatever it happens to be, that even though we agree on the first tier, we disagree on the second. That's why we need to part ways, in theory, on good terms.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to talk more about that in just a moment, but just thinking through for any second or third tier issue,
baptism, it could never be acceptable to us to baptize an infant.
Sure.
It's just on biblical grounds, we just do not see that. We see a believer's baptism.
Sure.
We would never believe in any kind of transubstantiation or consubstantiation with regard to the Lord's Supper.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we see in the text of Scripture.
Sure. Yeah.
So, you know, others are convinced that's the way it is.
Right.
And
say that's the first tier, the second tier, some of the ones you just mentioned. But then a third tier issue disagreement, my favorite one always to reference when I think about this, is eschatology.
Sure.
Kind of an easy one. Not necessarily the conversation itself, but an easy example. Thinking through, man, you get four people in a room, you're going to have five mm-hmm. different mm-hmm. understandings of how to understand eschatology. And those conversations can get pretty lively. And that's an area where, again, working downward through this triage, we agree on first tier issues, we agree on second tier issues. These third tier issues, while they're not unimportant, they don't necessarily need to cause division. They shouldn't cause division. And so I don't think somebody needs to splinter off a church because of a third tier issue. It's not that they're unimportant, but they don't. We can exist peacefully, certainly peacefully, within a local body and have an agree to disagree on those kind of third tier issues. Whereas by definition, you could not do that with a first tier issue. If you don't believe in the resurrection of Christ, then by definition, you can't be a Christian.
So it does twofold, multifold application here. Is It discerns what is where Christians must stand,
right,
and where we need to realize that there's a broader understanding of certain things, and not to lessen conviction, mm-hmm. but at least to have some understanding. There are well-meaning believers who hold a different view on this, one that we don't agree with, mm-hmm. But we affirm all the gospel honoring ministry that they do. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I think of all the contributions Presbyterians have played into my Christian life through their writing and preaching and so forth, I'm just so grateful for that and affirm their gospel honoring mm-hmm. ministry and
absolutely
have been edified by it.
So you mentioned that this was a pastor's conference. Oh, I mentioned, one of us mentioned they were a pastor's conference. Would you say this is only a matter just for pastors?
No. This is pastors being equipped to better equip their people for working through these issues. You don't want to divide your church over a Bible translation.
Sure.
And teaching the body to think through different tiers, and yet I fear a danger of the church is a lack of discernment on where we must plant a flag. Some of the social issues that have come up in recent months, I want to comment on that in just a moment. But teaching our people to contend, there's a contending and there's a forbearance, and we need the Scripture to guide us and for us to know where we need to stand. Bible translation or musical instruments or these type mm-hmm. of things are not where God's people need to part ways.
Yeah. So provided, for example, when it comes to the translation, to be clear, there are some really bad translations out there. So if someone wanted to use the New World Translation, for example, that's done by the Jehovah's Witness, that would be one that's a bit of a different category
flawed translation.
Or the Passion Translation would be another one by Brian Simmons, I think his name is. That's a fundamentally different category than, let's say, if I want to read the NIV or the NASB or something like that.
And on the other side, on the right side, I get, or on the conservative side, fundamentalist side, would be the KJV only debate
that
continues to surface from time to time.
Right.
But learning that triage, far from teaching Christians to be compromisers, I pray that it would deepen resolve and conviction mm-hmm. and to do so in a way that honors Christ.
Yeah, I think what's helpful in that with this discussion, again, thinking about navigating life together, is just to remember when we're having these conversations, whether it's in our connect groups or around the coffee table, whatever it happens to be, that we're not always going to see eye to eye on these tertiary, these peripheral matters. But where I think triage comes in handy, it again, as you mentioned, it's a tool to remind us that not every hill is a hill to die on. Again, it's not that doctrine is unimportant, but rather it's not something that necessarily needs to divide a church over. Or even in a smaller setting, not necessarily a church, but even just between friends, that you can have friends with people you're close with in the church, your brothers and sisters in Christ, and when it comes to these, again, just to overstate the point, not a first-tier issue, but when it comes to a different issue, you can agree to disagree and still be brothers and sisters in Christ. You can still break bread together. And so I think that's just really one of the main important things for me as I think through this topic.
We hear these examples of people dividing over or majoring on minor issues. Mm-hmm. They're just not able to get past it. And I think D.A. Carson does a masterful job of highlighting that in the foreword of Gavin Ortland's book that mm-hmm. we promoted on triage.
Finding the right hill to die on?
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, right. And so the Apostle Paul argues strongly that the cancel culture is not to exist in the family of God. And Carson goes on to say, he mentions an illustration about this older pastor who goes to France, and he's really wanting to insist that they not drink wine. Mm-hmm. And culturally, that's just, they don't get it. It's just, why are you, he just pressed on and couldn't stay, because he had so alienated the relationship and didn't understand where that was in a triage and was focusing on that rather than on the gospel and how that's worked out
right.
with these Christian liberty issues.
Right. So just to kind of, we've kind of been speaking a little bit abstractly apart from the anecdote here and there, like this one that you just mentioned, but you know, just thinking practically in concrete examples, if I were to ask you, how should we handle disagreements? So again, just thinking about, you know, the average person in our church, or again, even just pastors too, but you know, if we have a brother or sister, we agree on the first tier issues, there's no doubt about that at all. But man, on some of these other issues that might fall into a second or third tier, and we come to a real disagreement about it, how would you suggest we go, we navigate that?
This is why statements of faith are so important.
Yeah.
We're not making it up as we go. We have a statement of faith that guides our faith and practice.
Mm-hmm.
And so usually the issues, theological issues, have a parameter in which we live. In Southern Baptist life, the Baptist Faith and Message 2000 is a pretty broad statement of faith.
Right.
Over against the London 1689 and others.
Mm-hmm.
And so that deals with a lot of theological topics. There are a number of statements that are made throughout the state Baptist Faith and Message. So I think going back to that is a tremendous help. And so beyond that, dealing with theological disagreements to try to be open, forthright, biblical in our mm-hmm. appeals, and allowing the word to speak to that need in congregational life.
Right. Yeah, and I think those the statement of faith are always really helpful. And again, it's important to know that we're not just making it up as we go along, because that wouldn't certainly ever go well. But also just thinking relationally, when it comes to the person that I'm disagreeing with, we're at odds. Also wanting to be a people who are marked by love and marked by patience.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how Jesus said that everybody around us who couldn't know that we're followers of Christ if we're marked by love for each other. And so just thinking, that's a verse I think I wonder if we remember that, you know, in our minds quite easily, but we don't practice it as much as we remember, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
We say, oh yeah, that's good. But then if someone disagrees with us or we disagree with them, we're not very loving about it. And so I want to be clear. I wouldn't suggest that I think you mentioned this earlier, we step aside from our personal convictions. But the way we communicate the disagreement needs to be one that is marked in good faith and in love as well.
Yeah.
They're not mutually exclusive. And I think that's one of that's something we talked about a lot here on the podcast, just thinking through, you know, one of the important things, the many, many things about being part of a local body of believers, being part of a local church, mm-hmm. is learning how to walk through these things together. Because you're not always going to agree on these issues.
I think something that comes to my mind is when we were making the transition to an elder-led body, I took, I think, two or three Sundays to teach on why we were making the transition, and we were talking about in body life, to leave the typical Southern Baptist model of a single pastor and then a board of deacons or deacon council, and who knows how that functioned. It's different from church to church.
Sure.
And then a committee system and this type of thing, to an elder-led body that would oversee the life of the church, spiritually and temporally. And to be able to teach that from the scripture so the congregation sees it, and then to make have a conversation as a church and then vote,
mm-hmm.
I think is a helpful way to try to deal with major changes,
mm-hmm.
you know. And we've talked about other theological issues, Calvinism, for one, Reformed mm-hmm. theology. And we have, you know, these two topics I just mentioned. We have a statement paper on our website.
Yeah,
that you know, we're convinced that God's sovereignty and salvation is key to understanding rightly our redemption, and that we also realize that this has been a major debate in the church for many years.
Yeah.
And so we leave slack in the rope, yet at the same time, prospective new members understand that this is the perspective you're going to hear from the pulpit.
Right.
So, you know, it's not like this feeling of bait and switch, because
right.
so some people just can't abide by, you know, hearing that God chose believers in Christ before the foundation of the world, yeah. irrespective of anything seen in us, mm-hmm. which we, you know, I'm convinced is exactly what the scripture teaches. So when that comes up in the scripture, we want to emphasize that appropriately and to teach it without reservation. And so to try to be forthright with it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that every conversation doesn't turn into a conversation about Calvinism or the gifts of the Spirit or cessationism,
right?
Whatever the issue is, you know.
Which, again, none of those are unimportant, but it doesn't need to drive every single, you know, conversation. You know, you mentioned that the position paper is on the website, and I think about how Ryan Putman talked about this in his book. About he mentioned George Whitefield and John Wesley, mm-hmm. each of whom were on the pretty polar opposites on that discussion of Reformed theology and that and soteriology in particular. And they came together as friends at the tail end of their life, able to work through those differences. And I think that would be a good example to be able to look at, and a good model might be a better word for that, whenever they were able to come back together. So this is what it looks like to agree, to be able to say, you're my brother in Christ. I disagree with you on this, but we're still brothers in Christ. Would you say, you know, thinking through these discussions and having disagreements, I wonder if something we haven't touched on yet. Sometimes we think it's binary. We think that it's either side A or side B. A lot of times it's not always the case. Let's just imagine just for the sake of conversation that it is. We have a binary discussion. It seems to me that for a lot of the conversation that goes on, we only know our side A, let's call it, and we have no interest in learning side B. And I wonder how much of that reticence of being able to wanting to understand the other side,
it's too much work, Alex. I mentioned this, I think, in one of the panels, is I'm just lazy. I don't want to think about that sometimes.
Right.
But that's, I think that's just unacceptable. I think when we're dealing with issues like that, we need to seek to try to understand the subject completely.
Yeah. I'm certainly not perfect at it, but I think a good goal to say, again, going back to a binary discussion, I should be able to articulate side B so well that the other person would agree with my assessment and my description of it. I should try to seek to understand that to the best of my ability if we're going to have a good faith dialogue.
So one of the ways this works out in pastoral life is, let's just say you have a member who comes to your office and they're really angry because you taught on something in the scripture. They're mad at something you've said from the message. And they come in and they're really upset about it. It's troubled them. To be able to walk through what is the matter, what is the issue, mm-hmm. and if it's a doctrinal issue, to be able to hold out why you hold the position you hold, understanding that others may see that differently, mm-hmm. And to be able to come back to the statement of faith and the gospel as what holds us together, to be able to say to them, I have a lot of slack in the rope with regard to this issue. We're not talking about the Trinity or a top tier issue.
Right.
We're talking about how you understand how this doctrine's worked out in the Christian life. And the reason I hold this position is because of this, but I understand that others don't. And with regard to that, I want to be a good pastor to you. I want to faithfully, you know, teach the scripture and for God to do his sanctifying work in our life. I don't want us to divide over this matter. And I hope we won't. We'll press on in the grace of God found in Christ Jesus. And sometimes that works. Sometimes that is exactly what needs to be, you know, spoken. My pastor's not demanding I embrace his view on this issue. That goes a long way in, I think, showing humility and yet conviction. Nobody wants a pastor who's blown around in the wind.
Right.
It could be this, could be that.
Right. But you're also not trying to create a whole church full of Jim Laws either. So it's one extreme or the, you know, not either extreme. It's, yeah, we're going to walk through this together. And right. Here's where I stand on it, but talk through this.
There's something powerful to say to someone, well, why do you believe what you believe?
Great question.
You know, to have to make a, it's one thing to be mad. It's another thing to open the Bible and say, this is why I believe what I believe.
Yeah.
And ultimately, that's what we're called to do as shepherds. You know, Alex, before we close out, I'm just wondering if I could mention something else that I think triage, theological triage, helps us with, and that is the exercise of our Christian liberty. For many of us, we maybe early in our Christian life were just really convicted about, really exercised about issues that were not tier one, certainly not tier one, right, or tier two, or even tier three. They were issues of Christian liberty. Mm-hmm. And Paul gives a lot of ink to that subject in Galatians and 1 Corinthians and Romans. And so I think the theological triage helps us as pastors in our discipleship, you know, asking deeper questions rather than, as pastors, we give our congregation a list of things they shouldn't do. Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't do that. You know, the list is different for everybody.
Right.
And so the subculture, it kind of becomes an echo chamber of, I'm not allowed to do this, where I think deeper questions should be asked. Is this necessary? Is this harmful? Is this a stumbling block? Mm-hmm. Is this for my best? To ask deeper questions is, Lord, what is your will for my life?
Why do you think that second approach is better than the simple rule list? What's the benefit of that second approach that you're talking about?
Because it takes things that are not explicitly stated as a command not to do and brings it up into a higher category and in the life of the church than it needs to have.
Yeah.
You know, the whole issue of alcohol,
yeah,
type of music. I've mentioned in the conference, is it okay for me as a Christian to vape,
right,
or smoke cigarettes? And I mentioned Spurgeon. There was a young man troubled by this box of cigars that he had been given, and Spurgeon said, I know how to solve that problem. Give them to me, and I'll smoke them for the glory of God.
Right.
Well, you know, that would be an exercise of our Christian liberty that, you know, may not be acceptable in our ranks, to be able to put something aside for the good of your brother. That is something that's emphasized in the New Testament letters.
Right.
This is how I show love to my brother.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm not willing to exercise my freedom in a way that's going to destroy him.
Yeah,
and I don't resent him for that.
Sure,
that's a true love. So this is a tool for pastors on how to handle disagreements,
mm-hmm,
to put things in the right category. Some things we really need to stand strongly against because it is at the heart of our faith. But most things aren't. You know, I think of the cultural pressures of the last 5 years, Alex, and I went back to our podcasts back in July of 2020, and I feel some things don't age well, but I think our podcast with regard to the nuclear family, with regard to the social turmoil of that summer, Black Lives Matter, the lawlessness in the streets, churches dividing over masks, feel like the whole triage conversation lends itself to see things properly, even in the culture, with regard to our Christian liberty and how we make our decisions.
So, what's next year's theme?
We have Rob Ventura coming in, and it's the book of Romans. And so I'm excited to give our conference attendees a copy of his commentary on Romans, which is, he has a unique approach to the book. And look forward to developing that conference theme. And then in a couple of years, I'm very excited about having Matt Smethurst coming.
Mm-hmm.
And the topic will be evangelism.
Right.
I really appreciate you wanting to go back over the most recent SOLA conference, and hope it'll be a blessing to pastors and churches alike.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of Running the Race podcast. To find out more information about our church and ministries, or for more episodes, be sure to visit our website, fbcg.net. If you're listening on iTunes or Google Podcasts, a positive review would really help us out a lot. Thanks for taking the time to do that. And if you found the podcast to be interesting or helpful, recommending us to a friend or family member that you think would benefit from listening would be a great thing. We look forward to seeing you next time. Once again, thanks, God bless, and goodbye for now.